The airlines have had a horrible record over the holidays so far. Two Go Airlines pilots admit they fell asleep at the yoke. And the FAA's crackdown has prompted big changes in airline maintenance. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Tuesday, December 30th, 2008. According to numbers released Sunday by FlightStats.com, airline on-time statistics so far for the holiday travel season have been truly awful. The website notes, quote, "By our count, nearly 8,800 flights have been canceled at major U.S. airports between Friday, December 19th and Sunday afternoon, December 28th, seriously disrupting holiday travel for over 1 million passengers. With capacity cuts and high estimated load factors, travelers subject to cancellations have had an awful time with 2 to 3 day waits for a seat on another flight commonplace," unquote. Flight Stats adds that on the six busiest travel days, fewer than half of scheduled flights arrived on time. December 21st was the worst, with only 39% arriving within 15 minutes of schedule. Among the grinchier of the stats, Portland, Oregon saw 76% of its flights canceled outright by a winter storm on Sunday the 21st, and Las Vegas had 78% of its flights canceled the following day. The Air Transport Association considers the U.S. holiday period to run through Wednesday, January 7th. One has to wonder whether this means we can expect continued heavy volume, or whether the airlines just want a bigger denominator in that fraction to make the percentage of flights delayed for the season as a whole look smaller. It's long been speculated that a Go Airlines inter-island flight overflew its destination of Hilo, Hawaii last February 13th because the flight crew literally fell asleep at the controls. Well, it's no longer speculation. A National Transportation Safety Board report cited by USA Today says the captain of the flight has admitted that a frenzied effort to get back on schedule combined with a warm cockpit induced them to nod off, leaving the plane to continue on out to sea on autopilot. Quote, "We had gotten back on schedule, it was comfortable in the cockpit, the pressure was behind us. The warm Hawaiian sun was blaring in as we went eastbound. I just kind of closed my eyes for a minute, enjoying the sunshine, and dozed off," unquote. Both pilots were grounded following the incident, in which the jet flew past Hilo at 21,000 feet and on out to sea. Controllers first lost contact with the crew about 15 minutes after the commuter flight left Honolulu. They finally reached the groggy crew only after their CRJ-200 had overflown its destination. The NTSB report does not identify the flight crew by name, but FAA records show the agency suspended Captain Scott Altman and First Officer Dylan Shepley for careless and reckless operation. They were also fired by the airline. Following the incident, Altman was diagnosed with severe sleep apnea, which causes those affected to repeatedly stop breathing while trying to sleep, a condition his physician said could cause significant fatigue. At least one 2008 aviation story will produce a New Year's hangover in 2009. The FAA still hasn't settled up with Southwest Airlines and AMR's American Airlines for infamous breaches of safety regulations that happened during 2008. Even as Southwest fights a record $10.2 million fine assessed by the FAA for missing fatigue crack inspections on its 737s, and American execs worry their fine may be even higher after wiring bundles were routed through MD-80 landing gear wells with clearance deemed inadequate, the industry appears to have tightened internal controls on compliance. The Wall Street Journal reports that just 8 months after its scandal, Southwest is investing close to $1 million to update its maintenance manuals and has created a maintenance compliance team to alert senior Southwest execs about any future oversights. American had its entire MD-80 fleet grounded by the FAA in April over wiring issues. Some of those aging planes were grounded again over the summer to check for fatigue cracks. American has already lost millions in revenue and passenger compensation as a result of canceling over 3,000 flights. The Journal reports execs privately fear the FAA fines could reach $20 to $30 million. Tighter oversight of maintenance at American has since resulted in the replacement of a senior maintenance official last month, special training sessions for mechanics, and new paperwork documenting maintenance manual references. Two mechanics have already been suspended after running afoul of the tighter rules, and several more are under investigation, all related to procedures used in replacing airliner nose gear tires. American and the FAA declined to comment on their case, but unidentified insiders told the Journal the airline will argue its remedial measures should be acknowledged with reduced penalties. Coming up next, Oakland International Airport sheds costs to fight the recession. Asian airlines are bracing for a tough 2009. and a former Apollo astronaut says NASA is worthy of our support. You're listening to Aero News.
Okay. Right up front, let me say that Garmin does not give tax advice. We have lawyers who cringe at the very thought of suggesting there might be tax advantages to buying a new Garmin avionics system this year.
Did he say tax advantages?
Could that be construed as tax advice, either express or implied?
Yeah, like I said, lawyers. So I guess I won't be telling you that this year Congress is offering special bonus depreciation up to 50% in year one for qualified business equipment placed in service during 2008. Business equipment like, say, a new Garmin avionics stack. But you didn't hear that from me, right?
What did he just say?
Okay, better check with your tax consultant for guidance and your Garmin dealer for the installation. Garmin. Follow the leader.
See your tax advisor for guidance.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for December 30th. I'm Paul Platt. Consumers and manufacturers are feeling the pinch of the recession, but so are government budgeters, including those at the Port of Oakland, operator of Oakland International Airport. Business and vacation travelers know Oakland as a popular alternative to San Francisco International Airport, but the Port of Oakland also depends heavily on freight business. During a recession, shipping volume drops, and many shippers reduce the use of air freight in favor of slower, cheaper means. In Oakland's case, that means despite layoffs and other cost reductions, the port will face a budget shortfall of over $12 million in the coming year. About $11 million of that is blamed on falling aviation revenue, while the maritime division is down about $1 million. Marilyn Sandifer, the port's public information officer, tells the Oakland Tribune, quote, "The global economic crisis has redefined what we're able to do. The port's situation is very different today than it was a year ago or even 3 months ago," unquote. Last year, the port instituted a hiring freeze and shed another 40 employees in August, for a total of about 100 positions eliminated. At its December 18th meeting, the Board of Port Commissioners voted to temporarily lay off remaining non-essential staff for 13 days this fiscal year, affecting over half its 575 employees, for a total estimated savings of about $1.3 million. Other measures approved include limiting expense growth to 1% next fiscal year and 3% thereafter. Past expense growth has averaged 7%. Capital projects will be reduced or delayed. On-airport improvements, which have traditionally been handled by the port to meet the specification of tenants, will instead be subcontracted to the private sector. A new concessionaire is being sought to modernize and manage the Outer Harbor Terminal in exchange for a 50-year contract. The Port of Oakland will also seek a private developer to manage 168 acres, which were formerly part of the Oakland Army Base. The port once planned to move its intermodal rail yard there, but now hopes to leave the management and risks involved in that project to the private sector. Victor Uno, president of the Board of Port Commissioners, summed up the port's situation, as well as that of many businesses and households. Quote, "We are working hard to address overarching financial concerns, and 2009 will be a very challenging year," unquote. Asian economies and their airline segments have been growing at an explosive pace through much of the last decade. But economists have warned that if the U.S. economy coughed, the world economy would catch the flu. Now that the U.S. recession is in full swing, the Associated Press confirms that the traditionally busy year-end travel season for carriers like Singapore Airlines fell flat in 2008, as business travelers and tourists cut back, and 2009 looks worse. Tony Tyler, CEO of Hong Kong's Cathay Pacific Airways, said in a recent company newsletter he was optimistic a year ago, quote, "Now, as 2008 draws to a close, we are facing very uncertain times and the mood has turned decidedly somber," unquote. The International Air Transport Association predicts the industry as a whole will more than double the $500 million in losses seen during 2008. Asia-Pacific carriers account for close to a third of the entire worldwide passenger market and 45% of the global air cargo segment. Dropping fuel prices have helped, but Japan Airlines and All Nippon Airways have cut their revenue forecasts for 2009, and Korean Airlines posted its fourth straight quarterly loss last month. Cathay Pacific recently reported its first six-month loss since 2003 and warned investors they would be disappointed with the airline's 2008 results. China's state-run airlines were gearing up for a post-Olympics boom. That boom never happened. Now they're cutting some orders for new aircraft, and delaying delivery of others, even after a $440 million government bailout. Great Wall Street Securities researcher Song Waya comments, quote, "The overall airline sector appears to be in its worst mess ever, and it will be pretty hard to survive," unquote. The Coalition for Space Exploration, a collaboration of space industry businesses and advocacy groups, last week pointed to a recent editorial by James Lovell, a member of the crew of Apollo 8, in which he suggests NASA should be funded before many of the current bailouts of the private sector. Quote, "Why the necessity to bail out these mismanaged, short-sighted industries that are consumer-based, when a federal agency with strong management and awe-inspiring deliverables finds itself strapped for cash? Today's NASA is at a crossroads. It is suffering under economic stress, desperate for the necessary funding to continue its magnificent work. It, too, faces an uncertain funding future tied to 400,000 to 500,000 federal and civil contractor jobs," unquote. Clearly drawing on public mistrust of the results of bailouts, Lovell went on to comment, quote, "NASA can be counted on to confront key issues here on Earth, from global climate change to energy independence to aeronautics research. As has been the case for over 50 years, there's a payback to the public for investing in your space program. This is not a bailout for the agency, but necessary financing to accomplish all that NASA has been tasked with doing," unquote. Still ahead, a Colorado company gets an STC for a supercharger on the SR-22. A C-150 takes off without its pilot in Texas. And Lefty Gardner has gone west. You're listening to Aero News.
At Cirrus Design, we don't ignore the fundamentals of aviation design. We give them an ingenious new interpretation, the Cirrus SR20 GTS. Go ahead, indulge yourself. The SR20 GTS provides entry-level luxury into the world of Cirrus, yet at a price that makes indulgence affordable. When friends, family, and business associates experience the versatility, freedom, and sheer fun of flying in your Cirrus, they'll see that it maximizes the most precious commodity of all, time. To learn more, call 888-750-9922. Or check us out on the web at cirrusdesign.com.
Finally, aviation headsets have evolved. Clarity Aloft is the next generation of headset design. One reason that they can say that is because of Clarity Aloft's flexible boom arm. This featherweight band is the same one sported by stage musicians and performers the world over. Balance and comfort are the result of its elegantly simple design. The mic boom is easily repositioned for eating and drinking during flight without disturbing your earpieces. For more information, call 612-747-3197 or check out the innovative Clarity Aloft headset on the web at clarityaloft.com.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Tuesday, December 30th. I'm Paul Plack. Forest Aeromotive Technologies of Englewood, Colorado, tells ANN it has received a supplemental type certificate for its installation of a supercharger on the Cirrus SR-22. According to the company, the supernormalizer system uses a cool-running, low-boost, belt-driven centrifugal supercharger to drop a full minute climbing to 12,000 feet compared to an SR-22 turbo, with over 2 gallons less fuel burn. The supercharged plane narrowly beats the turbo to 17,000 feet, but the supercharged plane burns 3.3 gallons less fuel while doing so. Forest Aeromotive says its supercharger system is currently in use on 20 Cessna 182s with thousands of maintenance-free hours logged. The company claims its installation is half the price and half the weight of the turbo setup and runs cooler. The system will be available soon at Cirrus service centers across the country and is available now online. Get details at www.forestaeromotive.com. Retail price for the supernormalizer is $30,500. Stories about aircraft taking off without their pilots were common back in the days when many aircraft engines were started by hand. But they still occasionally happen. Based on local reports from witnesses and law enforcement, it sounds like a pilot in his 70s was preparing to take his 6-year-old granddaughter for a short ride in a 1966 Cessna 150F. After moving the plane out of its hangar at Palestine Municipal Airport in Texas, the man was reportedly preparing to crank the plane, possibly by pulling the prop through manually, with a young girl already inside. Locals say the engine started unexpectedly, and after taxiing about 300 yards, the plane got airborne and hit a stand of pine trees while about 8 feet off the ground. Neither the man nor girl were officially identified, but FAA records indicate the plane is owned by Virgil A. Fielden of Fairfield, Texas, about 30 miles west of Palestine. There were conflicting local reports of injuries. The FAA preliminary report lists injuries as none. And finally, Aero News has learned of the passing of a legendary aviator and Reno air racer. Lefty Gardner, whose P-38 called White Lightning was a staple at Reno, as well as at air shows throughout the country, passed away on Christmas Eve at the age of 87. According to his obituary in the Kerrville, Texas Daily Times, Gardner began flying in the Army Air Corps at the age of 21. He flew B-17s and B-24s on a combined 34 bombing missions over Europe during World War II. He received the Distinguished Flying Cross and the Air Medal with 3 oak leaf clusters for those efforts. And when his tour was over, Gardner returned to action flying nighttime relief operations in support of POWs and the underground movement in Sweden. Following the war, he earned a degree in agriculture from Texas A&M, and with his brother started an ag flying business in Crystal City. With a friend, he developed a method of controlling mesquite and other brush weeds common in West Texas. After he retired, Gardner focused on racing. Already widely recognized for his stunning 1976 Unlimited Gold Race victory at Reno at the controls of his P-51 Mustang named Thunderbird, Gardner increased his fame flying White Lightning, a modified P-38 that he raced at Reno for more than 25 years. His obituary reads, in part, "He was the happiest when surrounded by his family and friends. There was never a dull moment with him, as he created fun and laughter with his mischief and practical jokes. Lefty's patriotism was obvious in all that he did. He was a loving husband, father, and friend. We will miss him forever." While Lefty now flies without a plane, we'll apparently have White Lightning around for a while longer. The plane has been purchased and extensively restored by Red Bull. That's the latest from Aero News. The Aero News special feature is on hiatus for the holidays. Now, the airlines tell us the holidays last through January 7th, but we'll be back to regular schedule this Friday, January 2nd, with Max Trescott's Gammy Awards for the best and worst of general aviation in 2008 as our special feature. And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our Aerocasts. Find them on iTunes, Yahoo, Odeo, and at our website, aero-news.net. I'm Paul Platt. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.